Sensitive or self righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician. Hi.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Dun, dun, dun. Episode 109. If you didn't listen to episode 108 yet, please do, because we have Tim, Lisa, and Savannah. I was born in Savannah, the city. Museum of Wax Halls.
Yeah, not in Savannah. Their production.
She's younger than I would. That'd be totally possible. But here they are from the summoning, presented by Museum of the Wax Halls.
Yes. We're going to go one more time. Dates. And times.
Yes.
And where buy tickets.
Oh, yeah.
October 28th and 29th, showtime 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, both nights. And you can buy them on our Eventbrite site, which we will have the link to.
All right.
Stop banging. Oh, no.
Bad guest.
So this is something very cool. There's very limited amounts of tickets. If you don't get it on the Eventbrite site, and you still want to go, you can come to the Geek Gala and try to win them. But we will charge you a lot more than they will. So,
but still come to the Geek Gala because you'll have fun.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Like, every day there's a little bit more fun. Did I tell you guys about the cool thing? So Marvel Studios has actually approached us, and they're going to be there at the Friday Night Flicks giving away free advanced screening passes for Doctor Strange.
Yes. Cumber bitches.
Definitely going now.
You gotta come out. So that's gonna be really cool. And the Friday Night Flicks is gonna be so much fun. We have Attack of the Giant Leeches, the Devil Bat, the Brain That Wouldn't Die, or the Head That Wouldn't Die,
depending on which side of the beginning credits, end credits, the title differs.
And then of course the midnight showing of George Romero's Night of the Living Dead. So that is gonna be fantastic. The Muggles Market. Just going to be amazing. One of the people that's going to be there is Rachel, the Snow Queen, and she does paper snowflakes. And she has been posting them like a mad woman today. Ooh. And every single one she posts, I want that one. No, I want that one. No, I want that one. She handcrafts and hand cuts these ones. She did one that was This Is Halloween from all the, you know, the Nightmare Before Christmas. And she has all of the characters in there. I don't even know how she does that. So just amazing stuff going to be for sale. So you definitely need to go and check it out.
Does she have any West Wing theme?
She does custom stuff.
So you can ask her for a present.
Yeah, ask her.
Yeah, just make sure that she understands you don't want Bill or Hillary or Trump. You actually want someone from the West Wing.
I want a fake president.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Or you can ask her to do a Gilmore Girls themed one.
100%.
She could do Luke Steiner. Like, she would do that.
Speaking of Luke Steiner, did you go for free coffee last week?
No, the nearest location was too far of a walk.
Did you get that picture that I posted on? Did you?
Yeah.
You want to post it?
Was like
Mugs
had
a line out. Like,
no, I didn't.
You know, the line at Mugs for Luke's Diner Coffee. The Gilmore Girls
was free.
Yeah. So, it was like clear across the parking lot. It was amazing.
Free coffee for the day, and they had redecorated independent coffee shops. Like Luke Steiner from Stars Hollow.
That is the Gilmore Girls, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You're right.
I've never seen one episode, so. Oh,
they're really good, and they still hold up, I think. I mean,
yes.
I find them to be good. So, speaking of things that hold up, Gotham, not so much.
I haven't caught up with Gotham. We were removing that from the list and adding American Horror Story.
Oh, yes. So... things that don't keep up, Joey. So let's talk about American Horror Story. How about for clunky segues?
Okay, so I've joked that I have a love-hate relationship with American Horror Story. I loved the first season. I loved the second season. I couldn't tolerate the third season. And the fourth season, you would think with a title Freak Show, it would like be, yes, I'm there. And I gave up after half the season. I'm about to give up on this season because it's pissing me off now.
Savannah, have you been watching it at all?
I've watched all of Asylum, which I love. I loved Asylum. And I'm halfway through Coven, which I also love. So
I have to redo Coven, I think, because everyone says it's a real good season. I just couldn't get past like the third or fourth episode.
Yeah, yeah. I think it kind of gets like slow at the beginning there, and like it kind of gets caught. But as you go and things start to happen, more and more people get attacked, and so that causes like the tension to build a lot more. Yeah. And so I think if you stick with it, it might be okay later.
Yeah.
On.
This one here, I'm gonna blow a twist, but it's a twist that was so painfully obvious from the very first episode that this can't be the twist. It can't be. So this season is American Horror Story Roanoke.
Mm-hmm.
And it's billed as like a live, or it's billed as a reality TV show. This couple buys a haunted house and they're telling their story, and then they're showing a reenactment of their time in this house.
Hmm.
And they're visited by ghosts from the lost colony of Roanoke, which is supposed to be the big twist in episode 4, but at the very beginning, it's like, well, it's the lost colony of Roanoke. It's the lost colony.
They gave it away in the title.
Yeah.
Not much of a surprise there.
And, you know, you get to episode 4 where the psychic is like, darlings, we're dealing with the lost colony of Roanoke. And I'm like, yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed.
But it's not, I'm sticking with it just to see if there's another twist, because there has to be. But
the ghosts open at McDonald's down the street.
It's like Roanoke, New Zealand.
Maybe the people telling the story are also ghosts.
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know. That's the only thing left, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because I do find it strange that the people who are on the reality show are much younger than the actors who are playing them in the reenactment, which is kind of weird.
Okay.
But the bad accents are killing me. Kathy Bates, of course, can do damn near anything, and she's fine. Her accent is fine, but Wes Bentley, I don't know where he's supposed to be from. But, mother, thou hast turned thine eyes away from the true God. Like, thank you, Ringo. But it's just, the bad accents are killing me.
Is it kind of like little Chris going, I am Scottish?
Yes.
And that's supposed to be his accent. Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of the way it is. But I'm on episode 4. That was the latest episode, and that was the big twist. And I'm sorry I'm spoiling it for anyone, but you should have guessed that from the title.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if there's another twist down the road.
I have a twist.
Oh.
I listened to The Nerdist last week, and Gail Ann Hurd was on it. And she is the producer of The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Speaking of Roanoke and, you know, lost colonies and all that stuff. So it was interesting listening to her talk about it, and the fact that, you know, she talks about Jim, and it took me a long time to realize she was talking about James Cameron, her first husband. So, you know, just kind of stick with me there. So she was one of the producers. She was the producer on The Terminator, and she was the first female producer that was, like, the head producer. But she told an interesting story, and definitely the hour and 29-minute podcast, after you listen to ours, feel free to go back and listen to that one. She actually talked about the fact that originally the heads, powers that be, wanted O.J. Simpson to be the Terminator.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And they wanted Arnold to be Reese. And
that's
a
great idea, executive.
No.
Let's do that. That's great.
And she said, you know, there's times where you just kind of nod your head, and there's times that you have to put your foot down, and that was one where she's like, no, that's not going to happen. But she was telling a story, and I was listening to her talk about it, and she was like, so we were in this town, and you know this town was redneck because, like, the water tower is this big, huge peach butt, and all this stuff.
Oh.
Like, she's talking about that.
And
she
peach butt.
She was talking about how the executive flew out there because he was going to help them, quote unquote, save money on the production. And so he told all of the crane operators that they had hired, had set up, and had all the equipment up in the air for this big shot, because she believes in as many non-CGI shots as possible. She wants real action. She says there's something You have to get it on film. Yeah. He pissed them all off, told them all to go home because he was saving money. But he had to be flown from where he was to Hilton Head because he had to stay in a 5-star hotel, and he arrived in a limo where he was, the guy sat there and he was paying by the minute for the limo. And she's like, if you would just stop playing golf, I could afford all this stuff. So she let them fire them all, and then she went and hired them all back and just didn't tell him so that he felt like he did it. But when she started talking about this big peach butt, I'm like, she's got to be talking about Gaffney, right? So anyway, so interesting conversation. I would definitely give it a look and a listen. Nerdist just has it's some fascinating people on there. I mean, he even had Sarah Jessica Parker on there from Sex and the City. And I was like, what does she have to do with nerdy things? But
She's married to Matthew Broderick.
And Square Peg.
since you mentioned it, I forgot to put it on the list, but I watched that OJ documentary, that multi-part.
Oh,
I think it's OJ and American Tragedy. I think that's the title of it.
That stars Cuba Gooding Jr.?
No, this is the actual documentary that was on ESPN.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's like 4 or 5 episodes, and each episode ranges from like an hour to an hour and a half, and it goes through, you know, his rise at USC and his popularity and how he sort of transcended race and was accepted by all of these people. And then, of course, the murders and how they turned this trial into a thing about race for a guy who had turned his back on the black community his entire career. But fascinating. So point is, if I was like 13 when this all went down.
I know, seriously. I remember us taking a break at lunch to watch the verdict. But anyway, go ahead.
So, I mean, I was in school, but I remember, you know, OJ, I remember the trial and stuff like that, but I was in school, I didn't watch it or anything like that, and I just remember the verdict, but it was fascinating to see it all play out, and they have Marcia Clark, and they have Mark Furman, and they have a bunch of other people interviewed for the documentary and sort of hearing their perspective on how things happened, and really interestingly to hear the people who were very close to OJ who realized throughout the series of events that he did it, kind of a thing, and how betrayed they felt and everything. So I really recommend it. It's on Hulu now. So check it out.
Wow, we just kind of
stop right there. I was trying to think what else is on
show
Hulu.
And
I was like,
Dancing with the Stars, the replays, right?
Right. Yeah, so there Dancing with the Stars last night. Matt came home to find me, Starnes Lord came home to find me crying in my bed. So, you know, I think they try to find ways to make you connect, and as there's fewer and fewer people to dance and different things like that. So last night was most memorable year. And some of them were like very obvious, like the birth of their babies or different things like that. It was, what was interesting is two of the stars, like the year that their parent passed away was also the year that they launched a part of their career. Mm-hmm. Mary Lou Henning, her mom passed away, and a couple days later she found out she got the role on Taxi. And then same with Tara, who's the little person on there. Her father passed away, and it was later that year that she started on her TV show. So it was very interesting. They didn't do any eliminations last night. They're not doing the format of Mondays and Tuesdays this time around for the rest of the season. Part of that's because the fall lineup's back. They don't have the open space to plug things in anymore. Plus, we have all these presidential debates and all this kind of stuff. So they didn't eliminate anybody. I will say that Amber Rose, they're trying to... I just want her off the show. That's the kindest way I could say it. So, you know, we talked about last week the fact that there was a comment made about her bigger butt and stuff like that, and that she took offense with what one of the judges did and different things like that. And her dance last night was a samba. They had her back in a unitard, so her legs and her butt were there, and that's all fine. I have not a problem. It's not a body shaming thing. But she was sitting there crying the night before saying, I'm in heels and you're making me do this in heels. This is Dancing with the Stars. If you watch the show, you wear heels. You know what I mean? So it was like, it's not that she was saying that her ribs were broken like one of the other dancers. It's not like, I mean, one of the guys last night who is actually, his his nickname is Hitch, but the NASCAR driver. I mean, he was impaled in his car a year ago when he crashed into the wall. There was a stick that went from his right hip up through his stomach. And they said 0% chance of recovery. And not only is he walking, he's dancing, and he's one of the best dancers on there. So this guy can walk around. Don't tell me I have heels on. I can't dance. I'm like, shut up. Don't be on the show if you can't do it, you know? She was not eliminated. Ryan Lochte's still on there. They made a big hoopla about the fact that he got engaged and he took the girl on the helicopter ride and gave her this like huge carrot ring and a whole thing. I want him gone too. But but the rest of them, you know, they're improving. I think we've gotten to the, once you get rid of Amber and Ryan, we have dancers again. And I think that's kind of the big point. So halfway through the season, we're almost done. Definitely it's starting to get really interesting. But I definitely think Mary Lou Henner had a breakthrough. Marsha Brady, Maureen McCormick, she had a breakthrough. So I really feel like the show's going somewhere. So, but yes, it made me cry. So if you have Kleenex ready, I really feel like it should say sponsored by Kleenex at the end of the commercial, because that's kind of the way it was. But it was good. So
yeah, I came home and I was like, oh, you missed me that much? It's okay. No.
But you came home from watching Batman, so tell us about that.
Yeah. So I went out with Davey Bouchamp, the fifth Beatle tour, Guardians of the Geekery, to see a Fathom event. It was Batman, Return of the Caped Crusaders. And this is, it was animated, but it was Adam West reprising his role, Burt Ward reprising the role of Robin, and Julie Newmar as Catwoman. And it was so much fun. It definitely captured that whole feel of the old bright, positive Batman. And both Davey and I, well, we recorded a podcast that should be out pretty soon.
Yes.
Review of that. But
In theory.
Gala. Yeah. Let's go to the gala. But yeah, the voices were really good. And it was, they had a little featurette afterwards. And it just seemed like a really nice homage. And they also had some lines from different Batman movies. So Adam West would just say things like, you want to get nuts? Okay, let's get nuts. So it's like from the Keaton Batman. And there's this one scene where Adam West gets hit by the Penguin's umbrella. And he sees the three different Catwomen versions of it. But it was really done stuff like that. And there were a lot of things in the background. And the opening sequence is fantastic. It pays homage to all the old Detective Comics, and that's how they introduce all the characters, because they're all that old. I mean, they're from the 40s and stuff. So, very fun. And they've already announced a follow-up movie to this, and William Shatner will be playing Two-Face. So you've got Adam West and William Shatner overacting, act off. It's going to be sweet, so I'm excited.
I'm Two-Face.
That's right.
Captain Swan. Forever. And this is going to be like a 3-hour event.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It just takes them to get their lines out.
Well, it would take just 20 minutes to say. Yeah. Adam West and Shatner will take 3 hours.
Yeah, they're both nuts. So.
Gilmore Girls can do it in 20 minutes.
Exactly. I've got to say one thing. So with the making of it, they play it at the end. Usually they play stuff in the beginning, but I guess this will all be on the Blu-ray out in the next week or so. But I had to admit, Julie Newmar still looks hot, and she's probably like 90 or something. But, I mean, she's still, I mean, the voice, and I mean, it was just a crush. So everybody's looking up the age.
Yeah,
now.
I'm now looking up the age of Julie Newmar.
Please don't. Okay, now the next thing we need to talk about, right?
I don't think she's 90.
How about The Exorcist?
Oh, gosh, that movie is, or this show is moving so slow.
How many demos? Like,
there's just the one, but they're trying so hard to be like the movie, you know, with the, sorry, I'm looking up Julie. She's 83. She's not 90. So
oh, great.
You were 7 years off.
Spring chicken hat.
So, you know, this takes place after the movie The Exorcist. But it's the same basic premise. Young girl gets possessed by Satan. Italian priest and, you know, European priest come to save her. And the European priest, he's Irish in this one. He's not, you know, Max von Sydow. goes against the church because they can't just do exorcisms every day, you know. But it's just because they're drawing it out over an entire season, it's moving so slowly that I'm don't care. I'm like, it's just, it's losing my interest. And the girl is annoying. It's this like 14-year-old girl, and she's just somewhat annoying, and her sister's annoying. And I'm just like, yeah, possess them, because that would make them interesting. So
reminds me of those soap operas where you stop watching it and you come back 3 months later.
And it's the same one.
It's one day later. Yeah. Probably when you started.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know about the show. I really don't. I was skeptical about how you could drag it out over an entire season. I thought maybe it would be like two or three possessions and they'd be moving around. Yeah. No. It's just going to be this one family because they've signed Gina Davis and Alan Ruck, and they're not going to get rid of them all that quickly. So,
wow.
So, well,
I guess kind of related to that, we saw Robot Johnson, the sketch group.
Oh, that's right.
One of the sketches was Graham Odom as the Exorcist.
As the Exorcist.
And
using whatever he has in his backpack.
Yeah, which was basically his lunch to try to defeat Tiffany, who had been possessed. And
not our Tiffany.
No, different Tiffany, who had a very vulgar...
Mouth
for sure, which was awesome. But she really was a tour de force. I mean, I'd never seen her been in the spotlight for so many sketches, but she just killed it. Great performance.
Yeah, that was actually a fun night. Robot Johnson was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we miss our favorites, as we always do, but I think that they have a strong enough cast of characters that you put any of them together, the right group, and they all can... I mean, you could almost have, like, two groups of Robot Johnson. Like,
yeah.
So, it was really cool.
So,
let's talk about Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Absolutely.
You haven't seen it?
It's killing me.
But you just read the book.
I'm a big fan of the books, I'm trying to get into the theater, but I've been so busy, I haven't even been able to like sit down and find a day to see it, but it's killing me. I really want to
Now, did you read the book beforehand?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I love the book. I love the book because the book is very immersive. It has photographs. It has, one of those books that really it feels like you're picking up something that's real. And, you know, there's photographs of all the peculiar children and Mrs. Peregrine, well, her silhouette. But, and the photographs come into the movie. It's directed by Tim Burton. I liked it. I can't say I loved it. And I think the problem with the movie is Asa Butterworth, who plays Jake. There's a couple of scenes where,
is he the main character?
He's the main character.
He's the new one, right? I've seen the trailer.
Yeah.
So he's the new peculiar child.
Well,
kind of.
Yes. Yes
the
and
guardian.
No. The thing with Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children is it exists in one day in 1943. Mrs. Peregrine loops the day over and over and over because the school is actually bombed at the end of the day. So she has the ability to control time, and it's saving them, all these children from the Hollows, which are trying to kill them. So she loops that day over and over, and Jake gets caught up and taken back to that loop.
Oh.
So, and his grandfather also previously in 1940 came to the school. So, and his grandfather's played by Terrence Stamp, and I absolutely adore Terrence Stamp. So I was just thrilled to see him in a movie. And I'm like, oh yay! So yeah, he's awesome. And Eva Green is awesome as Miss Peregrine, and her costume is just astounding and amazing. And the kids are all very interesting. And I would have liked to have focused a bit more on the peculiar children, and a little bit less on Jake because he's.
Couldn't carry the movie as well.
I don't think he could. Yeah, which is weird because he was the lead in Hugo, and I thought he was so good in Hugo. But I don't know. He's at that awkward 15, 16-year-old stage where
He was like in the finals for the Spider-Man casting, I think.
Yeah, I'm glad that Tom Holland got
me too,
that.
Yeah.
I'm really glad Tom Holland got that.
Okay.
He was also in Ender's Game, if anyone saw Ender's Game, and he wasn't bad in that. But here he's not quite up to par, and I would have liked to have seen a lot more of Judi Dench.
Oh, sure.
It's always the case.
That's always the case, though. Yeah, just give me more Judi Dench. But,
the cast was fantastic. I remember like reading the cast list in my car before the movie came out. When I went into Barnes and Noble and I saw the books, and it says movie out in September. I'm like, oh my god, what? So I had to run to my car and read the cast list. Great cast.
Yeah.
I remember thinking how fantastic it was, and so I hope that I like it because I'm such a purist about my books that when it doesn't transfer over in the movies, I get really upset.
Yeah, he's the only, and it may just be me. I would still give it a solid B because I loved the look and I loved the kids and I loved the story. So it's just, there's something about his character that was just not clicking for me.
Yeah, I was a little concerned because they didn't do a lot of pre-press about it, and they released it at a weird time, and I just hope it...
I don't think they quite
knew what to
knew
do
what
with
they
it.
Were doing with it. It's, you know, it's like, it reminds me of Big Eyes, which is a Tim Burton film that...
We
they
loved.
Just, I loved Big Eyes, and I don't think the studio had any clue what to do with this Tim Burton film about an artist that draws kids with really big eyes.
You know? Fascinating.
And it was actually really fascinating, and it's one of the few times I like Amy Adams.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and, you know, the whole thing, Christopher Waltz, the whole thing, it was just, oh my gosh. So.
Let's face it, though, Tim Burton has some real hits and some real misses.
Yeah.
When he comes out with a movie, you're going... Which one's it going to be? It's never in between. It's either it's going to be really good or you're going to walk out going, what was
what
that? What
hell?
Were you thinking?
Yeah, I kind of like that, though, you know?
Yeah,
that,
that
it, I mean, I wish they would all be good. But
it could be Sweeney Todd. It could be Dark Shadows.
Yeah, let's go.
Exactly.
Yeah,
which, strangely enough, I did enjoy Dark Shadows. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I enjoyed it.
Well,
I thought it was refreshing.
Visually a good movie, but I couldn't. I just couldn't. It couldn't hold me. It looked great. Looks great.
But all of his films look great.
Yeah.
I mean, Planet of the Apes actually look great, but oh my God, that sucked.
And it makes you sad because it's like, it looks great, but I don't know if I like it because the story kind of sucks.
I know, and the ape makeup was so astounding in Planet of the Apes, but the story around them,
I'm
like...
Franco?
James Franco wasn't in that. That was Mark Wahlberg. Oh. You're talking Rise of the Planet of
the
Apes and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Okay. And that's all Andy Serkis. That's all digital capture.
Okay, just ignore the
god of
digital
capture.
So, did you see Death Race 2000? I know we saw the original Death Race at Cult Movie Monday together. Did you ever see Death Race 2000?
I think I did, but I can't... It's one of those movies that I may have been at a party, and I may have been imbibing...
Yeah.
And I may not have been paying attention.
Okay.
So Henry Cavill in
that
one?
No.
Burt Reynolds?
No. But Roger, this is Roger Corman, who, you know, we talked about Gail Hurd earlier, and Roger Corman was who she studied under. But
so
three
people did.
Yeah. Well, that's
Roger
the whole thing.
Oh,
well, and, you know, and I know Roger Corman is just whatever, but the thing is like, she talks about the fact that she was just treated... like anybody else. In fact, he preferred women because they worked harder for less money. But, you know, a lot of people learned under him that became James Cameron, and a whole bunch of other people just learned under him. But anyway, the first Death Race I saw was hilarious. I mean, it was just that good, bad kind of thing, you know? And there's a trailer out now for Death Race 2050. Mm. And that trailer definitely embraces the original. What I can't remember is Death Race 2000, if that was trying to do that whole, like, let's do the Dark Knight Rises version
of it. I know, I don't think. No,
it
wasn't trying to be
It
straight.
Was still as comic.
It was still, it was trying to be more...
Gritty comic.
Gritty comedy, yeah. More like Grindhouse than just straight up B-movie.
That's what I just remembered that vibe of it wasn't on the same...
Yeah.
kind of B-movie level as Death Race 2000. So Death Race 2050, you know, it's very sheer, like, stupid violence. But I did enjoy it when we watched the original Death Race, and I was like, it's probably going to have, like, squick moments for me where I'm like, I didn't want to see that.
Yeah.
But definitely had that first vibe again, and I was happy to see that. So
yeah, so I'm kind of looking forward to that, even though... I think it is actually directed by Roger Corman.
It is. It says Roger Corman's Death Race 2050.
Well, we know what to expect.
Sweet.
Yep.
Well, unlike Tim Burton.
We know exactly what you expect with Roger Corman. There's really not going to be any
surprises.
They're
all misses with
that. But there's, some of them are just glorious misses.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have any of you seen his cut of the anime movie The Galaxy Express 3-9?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, you should watch the original where I think it was Viz Entertainment. They dubbed it.
Oh, wow.
I don't suggest the dub. Watch the subtitled version.
Okay.
Then watch Roger Corman's. They're like two very different creatures. He went even as far as to take clips from the soundtrack and make their own songs for his version, which are awful. It's like this...
Oh my God.
I picture this lady with a 70s guitar sitting in front of a microphone. He just goes, play. And she plays. And he goes, it's about a train in space. Play. And then she plays.
Oh,
and then they put it in the movie. doesn't make sense. It's it's horribly fantastic. So I suggest if you can spare the time to waste, watch the subbed version of the masterpiece of an original, and then watch his version.
So it sounds like, you know, one of those we need to test out drinks for the convention
trip. Yes.
Speaking of anime, a couple weeks ago they released photos of the Ghost in the Shell cast as their characters.
Mm-hmm. And? Yeah, you're a purist too. She's like Yusavanna, so.
Oddly, I don't really have a problem with Scarlett Johansson because, frankly, she's so robotic that I think she might actually pull this off. And the character of the Major has gone through so many bodies that, to me, it's not whitewashing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's she's cyborg.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, she's actually totally robotic by the time Ghost in the Shell occurs. It's the side characters. Bateau... they better be doing something with his eyes in post-production because he does not have his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing about Bateau and he has the little orphan Annie eyes because those are they're cyber. And he got those being a ranger. But yeah, the photo of him, and nobody's saying, why are they whitewashing Bateau? It was really odd when the whitewashing stuff happened because they focused so much on the Major. I'm like, but you don't care about the Danish actor playing Bateau? But he looks kind of like the part, but his eyes are totally wrong. The rest of the characters, Beat Takeshi as Aramaki, I'm fine with. I'm fine with Beat Takeshi and damn near anything, so I'm fine with that. Tagosa looks a bit old. He looks like he's in his mid-40s, and in the anime series, he's young.
Yeah,
he's very young. As a baby.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the cast looks okay. So we'll see. They're starting to release little tiny trailer, you know, teaser trailers. So I'm hoping they can pull this off because I think Ghost in the Shell is one of those animes that can actually be done live action and work. A lot of things it just doesn't translate. But this is a story that I think actually can.
Very cool. So interesting things translate from film to stage or stage to film. We've got The Toxic Avenger coming up locally here. It's a musical, which I don't quite understand how that happens. But
well, did you not see Evil Dead the musical?
No, I didn't get to, remember?
That was glorious.
So it's also being put on by the Actors Theater. Happy to announce that they're going to be part of our citywide gala quest. And they are actually going to be on our podcast in a couple weeks to talk about it.
Very happy they found a new home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to find their home by going to their home and finding Toxie. So they'll either have a mask or a poster up that you can find as part of the citywide gala quest. And that's the only location I'm telling you about. You'll have to find out the rest Friday night at midnight. But so I think that's going to be very cool. Opens on October 25th, which is a Wednesday. Or it could be
That's
26th,
Tuesday.
Which is a Wednesday. They'll be on the podcast on the 25th.
Okay.
So make sure if you haven't gotten tickets for that or the Waxaw Summoning that you do that.
Thank you.
And if you happen to spot a production of Evil Dead the Musical, I highly recommend it.
Yes, and tell us about it so I can go. Weird thing I heard on the way home.
Uh-huh.
There's this new... evidently, we're very addicted to the smell of new technology. And so somebody created a Mac-smelling candle, and it's sold out and on back order. So, interesting thing. Just thought I'd mention that.
It's so funny. For my birthday, one of my teammates at work got me a candle that smells like tobacco and patchouli. And I was having Renaissance Festival flashbacks. I know, right? I was like, okay, I'm back on the ground stage.
I have a candle at home called Ivy League. And it smells like a preppy man. And I love it so much.
So if somebody was to make a candle of scents you would want to smell, Starnes Lord, what would it be?
No comment.
I Tim?
Let's see here. What kind of candle
do you want to smell?
What would I want to smell? Some sort of tea and cinnamon mixed in with like a firewood smell, I thing.
Oh, sounds good.
That's good.
Have you ever tried the firewood tea?
The firewood tea.
No, it's like it's a Chinese tea that literally smells like you're burning a campfire.
I've never heard of this, but I think I'd like it.
It's not oolong. It's a lapsong. Lapsong. Oh, that's gonna kill me now. Continue on, and I'll look it up.
Well, I used to love the Yankee candles, and I'd had one that was called Cinnamon Toast, and I lit it one time and forgot that I'd lit it because I was in another room, and I was like, "Did I make toast?" And I kept walking into the kitchen, and I'm like, "Did I bake bread? What did I do?" You know, like I wouldn't know these things, but yes, my husband was very upset. But my first husband, I was married before Starnsleigh.
What?
Was very upset when he came home and there was no pie on the counter. He was like, what the hell? So, what about you, Savannah?
I think they've actually already made mine. They released a candle that smells like a bookstore. So it's like, it's a combination of tea and like the smell of books. And I think, I looked it up and I think it's like a $40 candle, but I'm like, that's fine. I can buy a $40 candle. That's fine. So they've made mine. I just have to get rich first and then I'll buy the whole stock.
And the tea is Lapsang Souchong, and I'm probably butchering that name, but it smells like a fire, a campfire when you're brewing it. I used to drink it at the Ren Fair. And people would be like, oh, Carol's drinking tea. You can smell the fire.
That would be alarming if you were in a building and somebody's like, fire, fire, fire. No, it's my tea. Yes.
Do you know if it's actually similar to oolong? Because I really love oolong.
It's not as... I'm not a fan of oolong, but I loved this tea. It's more a little blacker.
Oh, okay.
So, but I really enjoyed it. And I think I got it from the Republic of Tea when my... Get it loose leaf. Okay. I don't think they do tea bags with it.
What scent would you go for, Lisa?
Well, I'm not positive what Aiden Turner as Ross Poldark standing by the cliffs in England smells like.
I just watched the show.
I think that I would really like the candle that mimics that scent.
Yeah.
And could he show up to light it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just started watching that show. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I was really about ready to go postal on Sunday when the debates shut out me watching Poldark because I had waited all week marking through the day.
Oh my goodness.
And then I was like frantically trying to find out why on every PBS channel there was this debate when I needed to see what happened with Ross and DeMelza.
It's not even a good swap, is it? Like, these kids look over so you can watch Trump and Hillary go at it. Like, is it even
that's
kind of an insult, actually.
Amazon Prime and Netflix are for.
Did it come on late?
No, it didn't even come on after the debate.
Oh, gosh.
Because then they got to rehash the debates.
Yeah.
Oh. So you can just go to a flea market and see that. I mean, see what was going on there. It's definitely reminded me of it.
So I went on Masterpiece's Facebook page, and lots of people were angry that Masterpiece didn't announce it until that day that it wasn't going to be on. So people were real upset about that.
Yeah.
I would be upset about that, too. Well, it's just like Dancing with the Stars. They had to do really short ones the first debate. And I was very happy that the debate was on Sunday night this week because Monday night is my Dancing with the Stars night. Then they had Monday Night Football. But fortunately, the alternate channel, AXN, Waxaw, Channel 64 had it. So I was like, okay, we're good. Because Panthers was worth crying about, too. So... but the good thing is we just found out that Hot Topic is carrying Outlander outfits. So if you like that, smell of like the more on the clothes, you could at least, you know, go.
That would be a substitute.
Go
to, like,
smell their clothes.
A new one.
Yeah. You could go into Hot Topic and just go, I'm just here for a minute.
Oh my God.
I would just smell like a Hot Topic. And actually, Torrid. Torrid's getting more of the clothes. Hot Topic is getting more of the toys now.
I didn't even know Hot Topic was still a thing,
honestly. Gosh, yeah.
I thought it died out in like 2008.
No.
Actually, it's really that's where I got my bridesmaids' dresses was Hot Topic and Torrid. Doctor Who dresses. Mm-hmm. So really?
Yeah, Torrid does most of the clothes. Hot Topic is mostly toys and geek stuff now. Yeah. They'll have They're t-shirts, but...
The clothing, if you want it, you have to go online. You can't find it in the store.
Yeah.
So
they have a lot of great stuff online. Like, a lot more expanded. It's fantastic. And they have great sales, too. So I'm always in for sale. Always
in
for sale.
I was in there at Concord Mills before the movie, and Davey and I went in there to look at the Funkos, and they were on sale, of course. But anyway, it was good. I didn't buy any. I did good.
Speaking of Funkos at Hot Topic...
Oh,
cool. They had the Golden Girls.
Oh my goodness, I have to have them.
Christmas. All four Golden Girl action figures at Hot Topic.
Is that what you want?
With the Funkos. they didn't have the actual action figures, because they do have
those
action
figures. Those are at Target.
Figures.
The action figures are at Target, yeah.
Okay. So,
they were at the New York Comic Con exclusively first for like 2 days, and then Target has them, apparently. So.
That's crazy.
Comic Con for the Golden Girls. When did that become a geek property?
I'd be there.
Yeah, I think it's really, like, the geekdom has really expanded. That it's mm-hmm. you know, if something becomes a cult classic, then that's geeky because people get passionate about it. But it really is this open world. It's crazy.
Well, we did sing the theme song Friday night at Robot Johnson in honor of Star and Lauren's birthday.
So. Yes. And I had nothing to do with it. I was just told when I walked in.
And it was somebody else's birthday. I didn't know who that person was.
I didn't know who that person was either. And I was surprised that they didn't pull Tanya up on stage. But I think it was because she was sick.
She was sick. Right?
They didn't want to get infected.
Yeah.
Speaking of that type of thing, though, you guys remember Family Matters from the 90s?
Oh, yeah.
So I just saw this before we came on air on a podcast, where the heck we call it. But it's a mashup of Luke Cage, and they recut it to be a comedy. So it's all of them, all the characters smiling, even the bad guys, and then it's set to the Family Matters music. And it just editing in that music completely changes the tone of it. If you had never seen Luke Cage, you would think, oh, this is a sitcom from the 90s. Because everybody's like, you know, and it's hysterical. So, yeah, check it out. Yeah, it's
a good 2 minutes of your life. Luke Cage is good.
Yes.
On the Family Matters tangent, absolutely. I don't know if this was a Christmas or Halloween episode, which is two polar opposites. But there's this episode where there's an Urkel doll. It's like a puppet, and it comes to life and terrorizes the family.
It's a Halloween episode, yes.
Okay. I saw the episode years ago, laying in bed at Christmas. It played at Christmas, and it terrified me. I don't know what it was about it. I don't know if it was the puppet or just the... I don't know. I thought it was terrifying.
We probably have the doll thing.
I'm probably the only person that wet the bed, not literally, from a Family Matters episode, but that was terrifying. Just kind of putting that out there.
I remember watching it at my friend's house, and I'm like, is this Chucky?
Wow.
It's a new Chucky movie.
Yeah. I think that, like... the more safe something is, that's what makes it freaky.
Yeah,
it's like
absolutely.
Family Matters soundtrack built in, you know, children, and, you know, except for the guy from Die Hard is the father, you know, I mean, Reg Wilson, but you know what I'm saying. And it's just like, to turn around and make it creepy, it's like, no, this is my safe and happy place. It's like if all of a sudden a killing should start happening on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, I would be like, no, this is not how this goes. Or, you know, Henry Cavill became a murderer on Gilmore Girls. That would just...
Sorry, we could see him.
Wow. Okay. So did you watch Son of Zorn or Last Man on Earth? Or?
I watched both of those. I'll just do super quick. So Son of Zorn, have you guys seen this? Mm-hmm. So it's basically an animated character like Thunder the Barbarian, and he goes to Los Angeles to see his son. And so he's the only animated character, and everybody else is live action. So this is the third episode. It's really, really funny. But in this one, basically the big reveal was that the son, who is live action, has animated feet. And so he's being bullied at school, and he doesn't want to show his animated feet. So they have a swimming thing at school for PE, and he's wearing a full body wetsuit.
Oh,
and everybody's making fun of him, right? So they go in the locker room, and they start picking on him, and they're going to beat him up. And all of a sudden, his animated feet come out, and just like they're really powerful, and just like kicked the bully away. So now he's got street cred. So,
it's
absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's fun. And Zorn does not fit into anything whatsoever. It's sort of like Conan the Barbarian trying to fit in with any situation. And then Last Man on Earth, basically the highlight there was the last people on Earth, not really the last man. There's many people, men and women, left on Earth. Just a lot fewer. But anyway, so they were being chased by this bad person and who had a machine gun, and they ran over him with the van from the A-team. And they didn't know if they had killed him or not, so they took refuge in there in Malibu in another mansion, and it was Cher's mansion. And so they go in and they open the door, and you just see the back of Cher's like hair. She still has the hair, and they go, "She still looks radiant." So that was a fun part of that. So we'll have to see what happens. I think that's about it. Yeah. How about the Geek Gala? Any more Geek Gala stuff, real quick?
Oh, well, There's so much stuff to talk
all
about.
All the stuff.
All the stuff. We're still looking for a couple geeky talent acts. Although Carol the Cat doesn't want you to sign up because she's going to be one of them. And she wants to win the money. But $150 cash
comes in money.
We hand it to you right then. So, you know, you could always do that.
I'd come in and do insult comedy.
You want that? There you go.
Yeah.
3 to 5 minutes. $150.
$150
cash. We have one comedian. Supposedly,
that's more for the budget.
So, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I mean,
John is back again. Hey, listen, he makes you look better, right?
I don't know.
There was a scientific research study done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because curing cancer can't be the only focus. but it says out of London, and it's saying that most people prefer to stand by their more ugly friend because it makes them look better. So. You know, John Dondero doing comedy makes all the rest of the talent show look amazing.
Oh,
love you, John.
Wow.
Love you,
John.
Well, listen, he put on his rider that I have to serve him a chilled banana. So, you know.
Insult away then. Yeah, you can come on.
But other than that, go check out Museum of the Wax Sauce presents The Summoning.
Ooh.
You only have 60 tickets over three shows a night.
Wow.
10 hurt people at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we took 3 of them. So, you know,
get them while they're last.
It's only one weekend.
You cannot buy them at the trail.
Correct.
So
right.
You have to buy them in advance. You have to.
Wear walking shoes and pee in advance and wear.
Yes, please.
Anything else we should mention?
Depends. Yes. Okay.
Yes. If you puke easily, don't eat before you go.
Okay.
All right.
And with that, am I pushing the button?
Sure.
I think it's time to push the button.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery.
Yeah.
For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.